Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Chris McIntyre, president of Eagle Rider Franchise Opportunity. And Eagle Rider is the world's largest motorcycle rental and tour company, specializing in Harley-Davidson rentals, ATV rentals, dirt bike rentals, and watercraft rentals. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing great, Marty. How's your week going?
Good. I guess... hot is probably a good word. You know, it's been pretty brutal right here in the Northeast, as you know. We're not too far from you. So, yeah, it's been in the hundreds, and, you know, Connie and I, Martin have been spending a lot of time at the pool.
Right.
You know,
or
so,
indoors. Had a pretty
exactly
good holiday
we're
weekend.
Exactly, we're indoors, you know.
How was your holiday?
It was great, Don. Yeah, it was, you know, it goes by so fast. It's hard to, you know, we were saying this morning, it's hard to imagine that, you know, July's already here, you know. It seems like once July 4th comes, it's like the rest of the year just seems to fly by, you know.
Right.
That's really crazy. I know you had a fun weekend yourself, you know. It must be nice being so close to the beach down by the Jersey Shore, as we call
right
it, in the Northeast, you know. So
yeah, it's nice that we're not that far away, and, you know, my kids love the ocean. And
right, yeah.
But it makes us a little nervous. The ocean was a little rough this weekend, and
hey, I've
know,
heard
so
that.
We make sure they don't go in too far.
Of course, yeah. No, I know. We're actually looking to get there ourselves probably like in the next couple weeks or so. So looking forward to that. But our last show, Don, we met with Nancy Weingartner, executive editor of our favorite magazine, Franchise Times. And Nancy's always fun to have on the show, you know, and she was talking about, you know, what's coming up in the next edition. We also met with Monty Smith, vice president of franchising for Puraclean. And since their inception, 2001, Puraclean, the nation's fastest-growing franchise in the $212 billion property damage restoration industry. It's a pretty big industry. They've grown to more than 300 franchise locations serving the U.S. and Canada. I thought it was an interesting show. I'm surprised it was new for our archives. I don't think we've had this type of concept in almost the 4 years
right
that we've been doing
yeah
the show. You know, so I said, what took so long to, you know, get these guys on the show? But I thought it was a good show. Any thoughts on last week?
Well, I know firsthand this franchise because remember we had a water problem
that's
in
right
our basement. We ended up using Puraclean,
right,
and
that's
it was
right
a good experience. And unfortunately,
yeah,
you know, we had to call that company. It was just too much for us to do. When water gets into walls and carpets, it's rough. But
yeah,
I, you know, for years I've liked this industry. There's just certain industries that aren't going to be affected as much by the economy. Because, like,
yeah,
in our situation, we had to get it done. We had to call in a service like this.
It's true. You're not going to, I mean, you, and I think Monty was saying it, your home is your most precious asset, isn't it? You know? And
right,
I don't care whether there's a recession or depression, whatever it is, you know, it's people
right
are going to, you know, spend the money to fix their home. You're not going to leave, you know, a basement full of water, especially when you have kids, you know, and you hear about
right
the horror stories of mold and things like that. So yeah, this is something that I think is truly recession-proof, you know, recession-resistant. You know, a lot of times, like, when you're reading about certain businesses, they'll talk about themselves being recession-proof or recession-resistant. I think this is a true case of
right
one of those industries, you know. So,
and I know when I was
well
first looking for a business to do the workforce, I mean, I'm going to lean more towards a company that's a well-known name that has a bunch of locations
mm-hmm
nationally. I just think you're in better hands in some local company you've never heard of that
right
you don't know, you know, if they're going to be on the up and up. So that's why I lean towards
mm-hmm
going with, you know, Puraclean for our situation.
Yeah, I think they have a strong brand name. I mean, I was familiar with this company, and I don't know if it was because being in franchising I've heard of them or, you know, being so close to the Delaware River. I mean, since we've been here, Don, 6 years, we had a terrible flood, I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago, and it seemed like these damage restoration franchises were all over the place, you know, and maybe that's where I saw them, you know, but it was just, it was
right
amazing, the damage, you know, that water can cause, and, you know, it's not just from flooding and things like that. I mean, it could be from, like, what, like a washing machine maybe breaking, right, or it could be a dishwasher. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, I guess, in a home, right, that could cause a,
right
cause a flood. You know, so, but this isn't like, I think Monty was saying, it's not like a blue-collar franchise. I think sometimes, you know, people, it's funny, they have a perception of certain types of franchise opportunities. That's one of the things I love most about the show is we do give that up-close and behind-the-scenes look at the franchise. I mean, this is more like a franchise for, I would say, like executives. You know, you're truly managing a business. I think some of their franchisees, Don, have up to like 50 to 80 employees. That's a lot, you know?
Right.
I mean, so you have to be a manager, you have to be a salesperson, you have to be all of those things. So it's not like, you know, you're just jumping in your van and you're going to clean up a water damage problem. That's not the concept. That's not what it's about. That's not the franchisee, you know. So this could be a pretty big business, you know. So if you know, for our listeners, if you missed the show, you know, I urge to go back and listen to it because you will get that up-close, behind-the-scenes look at this type of franchise and just the industry overall.
Right.
So it's a good show. I like to follow them. You know, it looks like there's some growth going on. I think he was mentioning, too, Don, I'm going to have to go back and listen again. I think Monty was mentioning that I think last year might have been their best year. You know, and when you hear that, I mean, you know, you and I have been talking now for the last year, year and a half about, you know, the challenges that a lot of, not just franchises, but businesses overall have had, you know, and then when you hear a company, they say, okay, well, we had our best year last year. Doesn't that blow your
right.
mind? Sometimes you say, okay, wow, something's
right.
going on there, you know. So, yeah, I'd like to keep our eye on them, you know, and have them back in the future. So he did a good job. So what do we got going on today, Don? I think today's an interesting show too, isn't it?
Right. President of Eagle Rider Franchise, Chris McIntyre.
Yeah, and I think we're kind of a little unfamiliar, I guess we could say, right, with this franchise. I mean, you know,
right.
I've studied them the last several weeks, and they look like an interesting opportunity. I said, God, why didn't I know about these guys, you know? It seems like
right.
they really have something interesting going. So I think our listeners are really going to enjoy listening to Chris today.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to hear about the history and
yeah.
how they're making money. Yeah.
Absolutely. We had a great article I think you touched upon last week, and I don't think we got to actually finish it. Do you want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, through openforum.com, American Express,
mm-hmm.
successful franchise owners boosting U.S. job growth. And it goes on, talked about how, you know, just people who are investing in franchises creating more jobs
mm-hmm.
this year so far compared to last year. It says, for someone who has spent most of their career working for a major corporation, finding the right franchise depends on several factors, according to small business attorney and author Cliff Enico. Before buying a franchise, speak to as many franchise owners, as possible, he says. Don't rely on the franchise company's estimates of the startup costs. Get real-world quotes in your area and create a spreadsheet showing how and when you will be profitable.
Real-world quotes, that's powerful. That needs to go in our great quotes in franchising, because it's true, Don. You know, I was working on a project for my doctorate degree, and I had members of my group, and several of them were in Texas, you know, and here we are up in the Northeast, and we were talking about, like, real estate costs and things like that. And it's just amazing how inexpensive real estate is down in
right.
Texas compared to especially where you live, you know. I mean, everything is just so expensive, you know. It's so real world costs, you know. I mean, the rent that you're paying in Texas might not be the rent that you're paying up in New Jersey, you know.
That's a good point. I don't know if we discussed it a lot, but, you know, of course you're going to be calling franchise owners to do your due diligence, how's that franchise, but you want to also ask them about costs, because it could be different in different parts of the country. I know along the West Coast, the East Coast, more along the water,
mm-hmm.
It's probably going to be higher costs, or
oh,
when you're
yeah.
closer or in major cities.
Absolutely, you know, and it's something, you know, it's amazing doing the show such a long time, and you feel like, you know, you think you know it all, and here we are learning something, you know, and that just makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's something to really emphasize to our listeners, you know, is get real-world
right.
costs, you know. I mean, if you're calling a franchisee, I think that's great, but remember, you have to compare, you know, apples and apples, you know. So try to get as close to home, or speak to a franchisee as close to your area as possible. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, when you're by that strip, by the water, the Jersey Shore,
right.
You're getting hit pretty hard with costs. So it's a great quote. I like that.
And it goes on, Marty. Enico points out that a franchise may be profitable in certain areas of the country where real estate and employee costs are low. The profit model may break down in more expensive regions, including the East and West Coast, like we were just speaking about.
Mm.
You have to sell an awful lot of donuts each month to pay rent. That's $60
yeah.
a square foot or more, he says. He advises
yeah.
many
oh,
former executives interested in buying a franchise. His mission is to keep them from making big mistakes. A good attorney can help educate you on the risk of buying that particular business, he says. Although franchise fees are rarely negotiable, Nico said most franchise companies will, if pressed, provide a clarification letter explaining provisions in their contract that mm-hmm. might be ambiguous, could be it might be a useful document to have if you have mm-hmm. to sue them down the road. So we've talked a lot over the years on the importance of having an attorney during the process.
And a franchise attorney, too, Don, is something that we emphasize, too, specifically not just to, hire any attorney, but, yes, a franchise attorney. I know you have attorneys in your family, and they probably specialize in something specifically, And franchising is, again, you and I being doing this 10 years now, it's a different animal. Go with a franchise attorney.
And then he also recommends to have franchise consultants to help potential buyers find the right franchise for their skills and personality. So, another mm-hmm. good information.
Yeah, and I think accountants too. I've seen some people say, okay, get in, to the whole, hire an accountant as well. And have them look.
Right.
Because an accountant will look at things differently as well. A lawyer is not an accountant, so kind of an interesting point. Hire as many people as possible. And again, the consultant is going to work for free, aren't they?
Right.
They don't get paid, unless you buy a franchise within their portfolio. And again, they make that clear, they should anyway, to the prospective franchisee that, the only way I get paid is if you buy a franchise, within my system. So, and there's good and there's bad ones, But I think for the most part, you and I, we've had a lot of franchise consultants on the show over the last 4 years, and I've been very impressed with a lot of them. And I don't think I felt that way in the beginning. If you asked me 4 years ago when we started the show, I always had this perception that, the franchise consultant was going to steer you towards their franchises, and that was it. But, speaking to the guests that we've had on the show anyway, I haven't gotten that impression whatsoever,
Right.
So. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Here's something right through QSR Magazine by Jordan Melnick, From Bailouts to Burgers. Amid the global financial crisis, with the world's largest banks reporting losses in the billions of dollars, Dwayne Clark, a 24-year-old veteran of the commercial banking industry, did something he never expected to do. He opened a smoothie shop.
Hmm.
I always swore I would never go into the restaurant business, he says. Mm-hmm. I always called it the beast. You live it, you drink it, you eat it, that's your life. But in October of 2009, he opened a tropical smoothie cafe in Panama City Beach, Florida. On June 12th, he opened a second location a little further north. At AmSouth Bank, now Regions Bank, Clark had helped Tropical Smoothie Cafe, which is based in Florida, get financing to open several locations. Over the years, he met the company's corporate officers and gained an understanding of how Tropical Smoothie operated. This was interesting.
Wow.
He was in banking. Had helped with provide some financing, knew the ins and outs of the franchise, and then I guess when he looked to go in a different direction, invested in the franchise himself. He said, as a banker, Clark knew how to evaluate an investment, and he concluded that a concept offering low-priced food and smoothies was a winner in a down economy. He also liked Tropical Smoothie's young, health-conscious customer base. But above all, he was looking for something steady after one of the most chaotic years in the history of global finance, when giant banks teetered, and some like Lehman Brothers, for example, toppled. The draw was the stability, and that quick service has shown such growth trends, Clark says. With a money background, Clark says he avoided a common mistake of the upstart restaurant operator incorrectly assessing costs. Most people getting into it don't understand the financing, and financing is crucial, he says. They don't know how to manage their cash. Patrice Rice, whose firm recruits for the hospitality industry, including young brands and Arby's, understands the appeal of the restaurant industry in the wake of the financial crisis. People with money are looking for ways to invest that can create income rather than gambling on the stability of the stock market, she says. They are buying restaurant franchises because it is a stable industry. And quick service in particular is an attractive investment because of the low startup and build-out costs, limited menus, and the potential to capture the breakfast, lunch, and dinner markets. While a finance background might help operators, restaurants and banks are very different animals, she says. You have to be smart enough to know what you don't know. If you're going to invest that money, invest in a strong director of operations who can tell you what needs to be done to be successful in this business. So this is
it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's there's a couple things there, you know, as you're reading that article, Don, you know, that come to my attention. It's funny how many people say, you know, we have a lot of cases over the last 4 years of saying, God, I never thought I'd get into a food franchise or, you know, anything relating to food. And then they find themselves in that industry. You know, it is amazing. It's always a good sign, too, you know, when these bankers, it must be interesting for some of these bankers. Sometimes I get this impression that, you know, somebody goes into a bank, you know, for a loan, and they present this particular franchise opportunity to, like, let's say, you know, the guy who's in charge of lending, and he looks at the numbers and he says, wow, you know, these numbers seem to make sense if they're true, you know. And I think a lot of them find out about the franchise that way as well, you know. So it is kind of interesting how they actually get into it. So
here's another guy, John Cassidy, a former commercial lender with J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America, bought the first of his six Einstein Brothers bagels in Colorado in 08. He says it was a coincidence that he left the financial industry on the eye of the catastrophe.
Right.
We laugh about how I got out at the right time, he says. That was not planned at all. But as a banker, he had worked with several quick serves, including Einstein Brothers, and had a detailed understanding of the business before he became a franchisee himself.
Go.
Pretty interesting. Right. Ex-bankers who have looked at different business models are either buying businesses or investing in franchises.
That's exactly what I was thinking, you know. I mean, some of them probably say, oh, my God, this just makes so much sense, you know. Accountants
right.
or, you know, bankers, and they say, you know what, I better get into this, you know. And maybe they decline the loan on the person that comes in, and then they buy one themselves, you know. And, who knows?
of all his restaurant,
thinking about that.
Yeah, of all his restaurant clients, Cassidy says he chose Einstein Brothers because of the integrity of its brand. While his banking background helps him as a franchisee, he says he has sometimes leveraged his financial acumen to a fault by scrutinizing food costs too closely. There's a level where you have some breathing room and leeway so that you don't micromanage to the point that it's affecting the customer's experience. Overall,
right.
he says his past life and a demanding financial work prepared him well for the high stress of the restaurant business.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting.
It is. It's a great article. I mean, both of them. You know, I think they bring up and make some great points. You know, so I think some of those things are going to have to go into our great quotes in franchising podcasts. So it's kind of interesting. Why don't we do this, Don? Our guest Chris hasn't called in yet, but I suspect he's going to call in a couple minutes. So we'll play a couple quick commercials, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
You've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Chris McIntyre, who is the president of Eagle Rider Franchise Opportunity. And Eagle Rider is the world's largest motorcycle rental and tour company specializing in Harley-Davidson rentals, ATV rentals, dirt bike rentals, and also watercraft rentals. Hey, Chris, how you doing today?
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I'm actually up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, overlooking a placid blue lake, relaxing with a cup of coffee, getting ready for Marty and Don.
That's what I was going to say. I said, rub it in, Chris. I heard rumor had it that you were going to be like on a boat or something like that, you know, sipping a cup of coffee. And actually, we really appreciate calling in. I know you're on your vacation this week as well, you know.
No, actually, guys, the reality is you're never on vacation when you're an entrepreneur and a business owner, and that's the beauty
that's
of it.
True.
But my wife is very clever. She positions usually our week family vacations in areas where there's no cell or BlackBerry or internet access. But this one, she didn't plan out so well.
Oh, that's funny. That's something that's fantastic.
Hi, Chris. This is Don Johnson. I thought maybe you'd be riding on your Harley-Davidson on your cell phone doing
true,
the show.
That could be another scenario.
Actually, that was yesterday.
That was yesterday. Okay. Chris, what were you doing before joining Eagle Rider? I mean, what were you doing in your past life before getting involved in the company?
Yeah. Past life was a company called NCR Corporation, and they did originally they were the National Cash Register, but they did, or my division was in the financial systems, and we actually connected banks to ATMs and bank processing, which was, you can probably, what a different life. I mean, from financial systems, you know, Wells Fargo and First Interstate to living the open road, wind in your hair, the smell of sage, pinion, dantra, and and Harley Davidson.
Wow.
So
did you have an epiphany, Chris? Is that what happened? I mean, were you tired of doing what you were doing and just wanted to do something? It is a drastic change if you think about it.
Here's it actually, you know, I'm a firm believer, and I mean, I know some people out there will think I'm nuts, but I think everyone has a destiny to fulfill. It's whether or not you walk through the doors that open up. And candidly, there's Jeff Brown and I are the two co-founders of Eagle Rider, and we both worked at NCR. And we decided, hey, let's do a motorcycle Harley-Davidson vacation, tour Europe, enjoy life, you know, in the Alps and Germany. And every single time we were on, you know, this is a little bit before the internet. It's around 1990. Right. And we're calling overseas, calling Germany, calling friends in Munich, calling whoever to try and rent motorcycles overseas. And the unanimous question back to us, it was like a rhetorical question, was, no, you can't do that, but where can we do that in America? Man, that would be the American dream. We would love to do that. And so it was out of our own really personal desires to do a trip and enjoy life.
Yeah, and a lot of great businesses start that way, you know. I was reading your story. I said, damn, why didn't I think of that? You know, I mean, it was one of those things, you know. It makes a lot of sense. So that's fantastic.
You know what's funny, Marty, Don, is it's really interesting that you say that, because really, if you look at our business model, it's so simple. All we did is pick a niche business segment where, you know, not even 10% of the world rides two wheels. But the 10% that do are college educated. They have usually very high household incomes, and they enjoy life. They're adventure spirited, and it's travel and leisure. And where the Hertz rent a car, you know, what Hertz is for auto, we are in the motorcycle to rentals and tours and travel.
That's fantastic.
So tell us a little bit about the history, Chris, how it started, and, you know, what was really the first service, and how did you get to this point right now?
Okay, so from that initial thing of Jeff and I trying to, which, by the way, we were never able to take that initial trip to Europe, because what happened is that led into a business development plan of, you know, let's look into this. Let's even see. I mean, it took us 2 years from 1990, actually almost 3 years, from the early 90s to our first store opening in 94. To get insurance and financing. And you can imagine, you'd walk into a bank and you'd do your, you know, dog and pony show and say, hey, so this is what we need, $500,000 to start. We want to go ahead and rent Harley-Davidson. And they would look at us and just, guys, that's really neat, but, you know, go do something, you know, we're interested in something a little bit more safe. And so what happened is, it took us 2 years to find insurance and financing. In 94, we opened up our first store with, in 93, we did a test, October 93. We wanted it, the entire business model was to be global day one, because candidly, if you look at any other models from, whether it's, you know, Vail Mountain in the ski industry or the golf industry, we're very much an enthusiast market where motorcycling, golfing, skiing, fishing or hunting. Not everyone does those type of enthusiast sports, but those who do, it's really a global, worldwide passion. And so our first four bikes, we bought four bikes in 93. We had the insurance, we had the financing. We go, okay, let's test it. And we worked with Lufthansa, and Lufthansa out of Austria sent four Austrians to, you know, California Dreamin'. They came out and they did a 16-day tour on a motorcycle, you know, on four Harleys in a garage that we had in L.A. They came back, and not only did they candidly hug us, and they brought us gifts, and they invited us to dinner. And at that dinner, they sat there and said to Jeff, I, and Peter Warmer, and a couple other guys on our team at that time, and one of them, Jürgen, looked at us with tears in his eyes. And for a German Austrian guy to have tears in his eyes, it doesn't happen often, gentlemen. And that's, you know, we do from those first four, we have 15,000 Germans a year now and Austrians. And he looked at us at dinner at Santa Monica Fish Company and said, you guys, I just want to tell you something. Thanks for allowing me to live the American dream. Ever since I was a little boy underneath my brother's bunk bed, I had a picture of Elvis on his Harley Davidson, and I dreamed of coming to America and seeing Monument Valley and a Harley-Davidson. He made my dream come true. And at that moment, at that moment, we really realized that it wasn't a rental business. And that's where our slogan, We Rent Dreams, comes from. It was trademarked, you know, 8 months after that, because we realized very quickly that we're more into delivering dreams and a niche vacation. And so that was the first four bikes. And then 94, we opened up L.A. 95, we opened up, we took the profits, opened up San Francisco. 96, we opened up Orlando. 97, Chicago. And then at that point, we're like, man, that took us 4 years, and we want to be in every tourist destination in the world that a motorcyclist would love to, you know, and love to ride. In South Africa for the World Cup, we wanted to be there. And candidly, that's when we went to franchising, because we thought, what a great way to scale.
That's a great story, Don, isn't it? It's just, it's inspirational.
So,
The funny thing is, guys, those first four guys, I mean, the guys from Austria walking up to our humble little garage. When I say garage, it was a garage, not even 200 square feet. They probably spent at that time, it was, you know, 93 of October, they probably spent almost 10,000 marks to come on this trip. And they came walking in, and they just looked at us, and the bikes were brand new, of course, and we're looking at them, looking them up and down, thinking, God, I hope they don't crash. God, I hope they don't steal these bikes.
Right.
This is it. And they're looking at us going, what did we just get involved in? And they went on this trip, and it was a metamorphosis. And, that metamorphosis we see, we joke around, and we call it an adult Disneyland. In every Eagle Rider location, our bathrooms will have changing areas and lockers put in, because you'll have, what was the last one I saw? The Toshiba Corporation sent an incentive executive group to America to tour, I think it was Route 66. And they came in,
right. And
Mr. Toshiba, if he is Mr. Toshiba, whoever the top dog was in his sport jacket, because they all flew first class. And then they had all his minions in order walking in, and it was almost like a metamorphosis. They went to our changing rooms, because we rent leather jackets, we rent helmets, we rent gloves. I mean, and it's almost like Superman going into the payphone and spinning around. They came out, the order was broken, the younger guys with the top CEO were all mingling, and they went on the trip, and it's a beautiful change that happens. It's a cool thing.
That's great. And there must be some repeat sales there, too, Chris. That's what I was just thinking. You know, I mean, these guys, you know, they use your service. It's not a one-time sale, you know. I mean, it sounds like you see them again in the future.
Yeah. It's when I gave the analogy of there's very few, I mean, if you think of our business model, I mean, again, like I laugh. I think it was Marty or Don, one of you guys said, why didn't I do this? I mean, our model is an enthusiast sport. I mean, it's very similar to golf and skiing, where that if you're a golf enthusiast, you know who doesn't want to golf Pebble Beach? If you're a golf fanatic, and you golf Pebble Beach, and then you golf somewhere PGA West in La Quinta or somewhere in Florida. If you're a skier, it's Aspen, then it's Whistler, then it's Vail, and that's really our niche market. I mean, that's why franchising is such a perfect fit, because here's a key success and business model that makes our model work. If you're, number one, you need a riding season. It's very difficult to rent motorcycles if you have a 1 month riding season and, you know, pick at Antarctica. So you need a general season that you can rent motorcycles for, you know, I'd say 8 months plus. And if it's a short season, then we look into a lot of, for example, our Green Bay, Wisconsin franchise, which is one of the Harley dealers up there. He actually rents ATVs in the off season because, again, you're thinking, why didn't I think of it? I mean, when people go hunting from in the northern Wisconsin, no one brings their ATV in the back of their pickup truck. They generally rent them, and so that's the off season marketplace to Harley rentals in the summer, and anyhow, that's our niche. Is we just like the ski industry has different mountains, and customer will say, I skied Vail, I skied Aspen, I skied Whistler. A motorcycle enthusiast goes, I rode Route 66, starting in Chicago, ended in L.A.
Right.
I flew to, who knows, Miami and did Florida Keys. I flew to Branson, Missouri to see the beautiful, you know, what a beautiful place, by the way. And that's our model. I flew to New York and did upstate New York. I did the fall foliage, and that's really what we do.
Wow.
So who are some of the franchisees? I mean, there's certain characteristics you're looking for. It looks like the franchise is really going in the right direction. The strength of the franchise is a lot of it is your owners and franchisees. Maybe tell us a little bit about some of your owners, Chris.
Yeah, that's a really great question. When we, you know, it's funny, when we started the business, we thought all we had to do is find someone with a passion and loves the sport. But what we find or what we look for, number one, they have to love the sport or the products that they're going to rent. If you love it, you can sell it. But we look for business acumen and professional level of, excuse me. You know, we want them to be professional. So we look for business experience. They've had managerial or professional experience in past lives. They love, if it's Harley Davidson, they love Harley Davidson. If they're into dirt bikes and they want to do a dirt bike rental or ATV rentals in Pismo Beach, for example, and that's their hobby in sand dunes, I mean, that's what we look for. And then the third criteria is really financial strength, because whether it's ability to get funding through one of our financial sources that we offer them or another bank, that's key, because our business model is unfortunately pretty expensive. I mean, every Harley Davidson you purchase is $15,000. So if you build a rental fleet of, you know, 100 bikes, it's $1.5 million. So it's not a small asset investment.
Right. You know, technology, has that played a pretty big role in your business overall?
Yeah, and that's maybe from the one beautiful thing that NCR brought to our table, I guess, is the understanding for systems, processes to be in place, and not only systems and processes for accounting, the basics, but truly in our business model, when we started it, the first thing we embarked upon was to look for a system, a rental system, that worked for motorcycles. And unfortunately, you know, there's auto rental systems out there, but there wasn't a, you know, hourly rental or day rental system that would work for motorcycles and was unique to the motorcycle or power sport rental business. So we actually partnered with a software company that had experience in developing car rental and modified it. And that was probably one of the most important system infrastructures and technology that we have. And the beauty of that is in the world of 2010, nothing works in this, in at least in my opinion, unless you're connected to the right sales channels. And the right sales channels in the world of travel, which is really what we are, it's motorcycle tourism, it's power sports tourism, whether it's snowmobile rentals, you know, that we do in Jackson Hole, or dirt bikes, or Harleys, Hondas, BMWs, or Triumphs. I mean, that's really what we are. And to be connected, have that system connected to Expedia, Travelocity, Orbitz, our own website, which is an enormous sales driver to drive rentals and tours, and that all those worldwide sales channels, all those different currencies from pound, euro, you know, yen, dollar, all tied together into a central accounting system was really, you know, if I pat ourselves on the back, that's one thing that I do. I mean, on our technology, so.
Ah, yes. And how about the industry, Chris? I mean, it's, again, this is something I want to say fairly new, but, I mean, are there any numbers, any hard numbers yet as far as how big this industry is or how it's going to be in the future?
Here's a great stat for you guys. And this will, I mean, you can, I guess we can all, I don't want to be the guy looking in the crystal ball, but, you know, there's a reason I did this, and there's a reason we have a lot of franchisees jumping on board. If you look at the ski industry, which is very niche, very seasonal, tourism. Not everyone does it. Not everyone skis. You know, most of, if you ask any of your friends, I mean, how many ski Black Diamond mountain slopes? I mean, you sit in a room and who knows, maybe X number, minority would probably raise their hand. And we're very similar to that example. I mean, in 1940, you could count on one hand the number of ski mountains that were even in the U.S. I mean, Vail Corporation didn't exist. Whistler didn't exist. And there's more motorcyclists than there are skiers worldwide. And if you look at the emerging markets of India, China, I mean, it's the Chinese numbers will just blow you out. I mean, 98% are on two wheels powered. Now, granted, some of them are powered motorcycles, but that's just a form of transportation. So when you add the green, I mean, we have a partnership with Piaggio, which makes a beautiful product called Vespa. You look at the environmental green scooter rentals, it's not too hard to figure that there's more motorcyclists than there are skiers. It's just simply developing the market and finding the right partners to really develop the franchise system, and slowly but surely you start really building some head of steam.
That's fantastic. Chris, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Sure. Thanks, guys. I'm enjoying this thoroughly.
Thank you. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we have a great show today. We're meeting with Chris McIntyre, the president of Eagle Rider Franchise Opportunity. And Eagle Rider is the world's largest motorcycle rental and tour company, specializing in Harley-Davidson rentals, ATV rentals, dirt bike rentals, and also watercraft rentals. And Don, I think I'm up. Chris, next question I wanted to get to is, when someone decides to come on board and become a franchisee, what's the training going to be like? How does that work?
Sure. The training is pretty, I wouldn't say intense, but it's very thorough. We have a week long or 5 days. We actually, believe it or not, we have something that we call Eagle Rider University, and it's everything from the front counter, where you learn the rental system, obviously the technology side. There's accounting. Since I think I mentioned to you guys earlier in the past segment that one of the great benefits of our franchise system is you can, I mean, anybody can go out there and buy some motorcycles and put up a shingle and try and rent some, and many will be very successful. But one of the great things that Eagle Rider offers our franchisees is connection and to a sales channel, not to a sales channel, but to literally thousands of them. And that's one of the big areas that we work with, and it's called a wholesale travel system. And everything from Virgin Holidays, which is a UK market, to Expedia, which is a US-based, bookings that we supply, to DER and ADAC is a German Automobile Club. We're connected literally to 50-plus countries around the world. And to learn how those bookings come in, understand the system and how it's, you know, there's different rental contracts and rent in different languages. It's a pretty thorough 5-day training class. And we go through the mechanics of the bikes, what to do in case of a flat tire or a breakdown. And it's and then the final 2 days, a lot of it is spent on the local marketing channels and providing the certain specific tours to each destination, because every one of our franchisees is really showcasing their specific destination. Just like you have, if you're in Orlando, the Orlando Convention and Visitors Bureau, whatever market you're in, generally we only want to select franchisees in markets that are really a tourist destination, so to speak, or a major metropolitan market. So we focus specifically in the training and get really deep into what and how you can find your specific rental clients in this market. And a lot of it has to do with targeting specific resorts, hotels, conventions coming to, for example, you know, in Vegas, when the motorcycle or the sheet metal union is coming to the market, it's a lot easier if you know what hotels they're at to go ahead and market and put pieces of, offers that you can rent the motorcycle when you arrive. So that's what we do. We spend a lot of detailed information on marketing systems, rental process, and the travel industry. Wow, and that's held in our corporate offices in L.A. So the good part is when they arrive, we pick them up just like we'd pick up one of our rental customers in an Eagle Rider van. We actually check them into a motorcycle of their choice. So it's a pretty cool time. Not only do they do class, but every morning they get to ride on their Harley down Pacific Coast Highway, arrive at Eagle Rider University, spend 7-8 hours of training, and then they jump back on their bike and they ride with the rest of their classmates and the trainers and other people like executives in the company, and we'll usually go see a cool destination in Southern Cal each night.
Sounds like a great way to really pick up some fast friends.
It is. I mean, and by the way, when I think Don, you had mentioned that earlier. Who makes up the system? I don't know if I answered that, but it's everything from, we have attorneys, one of the leading attorneys in New Orleans, to retired guys from the defense industry, to motorcycle, honestly, mechanics, to enthusiasts, to ex-professionals and white-collar positions, and It's all walks of life. It's really pretty a cool business. And you're absolutely right. Most of the franchise network not only is great friends with each other, but we're great friends with, or I'm great friends with, because it's a certain trait, or there's a everybody loves to hang with people that are fun and enjoy life and live life, and that just happens to be what our customers and our franchisees do. I mean, they've worked hard, and as we all know, no matter what you do in life, you're going to work very hard, and there's always a balancing act of, you know, time with your family, whether it's spiritual or, you know, personal, taking care of yourself, and then you have business, and a lot of time is spent building your business, and if you can combine something that you love, a hobby, and make a good living and build friendships, I mean, that's really what life's all about, and get your children involved, and you see people come with smiles and have fun. It's a real beautiful gift that was that came our way. So it's really
very
cool.
Very well put. Yeah.
It does seem like a fun franchise opportunity, Chris. As you're describing it, you know, it's like I was thinking of, like, you know, there are some franchise opportunities out there. You know, like let's say like an automotive franchise where, you know, the customer comes in and they have to pay a $1,000 bill, you know, to fix their car. And when your customers are coming back, you know, they must come back with smiles on their faces. I was just thinking of the story where you said that the one guy hugged you, you know. I mean, it's just, it must be rewarding at the same time, you know, to put a smile on somebody's face.
It really is. And actually, an interesting point about what you just said is a lot of our customers will do everything from rentals to we have day tours. For example, if you went to Seattle, you could rent a Vespa, and we have a GPS system that we literally put in the routing of a day tour. Here's where Pike's Market is, where they throw the fish.
Wow.
And it'll take you by the first Starbucks, and then along Alaska Highway, which is, or I think Road, which is where all the ships are, cruise ships. And then to the same thing for what we call self-drive tours, for the Harleys and the Hondas and the BMWs and the Triumphs, where that we have multiple day tours. So, and then of course we have guided. But the beauty is everybody just sees the best roads, the most beautiful spots, the most magnificent, you know, peaks and the roads going through the winding roads going through beautiful, magnificent national parks. And they come back and not only are they have smiles on their face, but they love the experience that they had so much that Harley-Davidson actually did some studies and they took the data. And a couple years ago, they were coming back with some of the data saying that nearly one third, and candidly, I was even questioning the data, that within a year, 30% of their customers that rented ended up purchasing a motorcycle or putting a motorcycle on order. Even if it was 5%, I mean, what a beautiful thing for a franchised OEM motorcycle or power sports dealer. If you get your butt in a seat, magically, if they have a great time, they end up purchasing it. So a lot of our franchisees happen to be motorcycle power sport dealers.
Wow, that's fantastic. Chris, we have about 60 seconds. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming an Eagle Rider franchisee? Is there any websites they can go to, any phone numbers they can call?
Yep, the best way to get a hold of us is send an email to franchise@eaglerider.com.
Okay.
Or go to EagleRider.com, and on the very top, there's a franchise section. They can click on it and fill out some information on themselves, and one of our franchise developers will get back to them.
Fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Chris. You've been a fantastic guest, and Don and I both agree you have a very fantastic franchise opportunity. We'd love to follow you guys and have you guys back in the near future and watch you guys continue to grow.
I'd love to get you guys on a bike. Let's do the next one while we're on Harleys. Cruising through a beautiful park.
I want to see these beautiful roads around the country, yeah.
Exactly, I know it.
Come on, Thermalcast, guys. This is the world of 21st century.
Yep,
that's right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks again, Chris. Have a great day. Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, Chris did a great job of explaining everything. Very good speaker and interesting franchise. So much can be franchised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised this type of business could be franchised. Seem like the franchisees really love what they're doing.
Well, that's what I was thinking is, you know, I mean, it's a franchisee that gets to put a smile on someone's face, you know what I mean? It's just, it does, it seems very rewarding, you know, and it is one of those things, as he's telling the story, you say, damn, why didn't I think of that? You know, I mean, it just makes so much sense, so, you know, so good for him, you know, it's great to see that they're doing so well, you know, so, but good job on segment one, Don, and for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com where you can hear over 170 interviews in the last 4 years. Go to GoFranchise.com, FranchiseFunding.net, and I'll be talking to you next week for another great show, Don.
Excellent. Have a great day.
Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for listening.